He'd been adamant about the return trip, then forceful. After that hadn't worked, he'd become openly rebellious and downright dangerous. In the end, the department heads had taken a vote, then kicked Doc 100 years into the future. He'd landed smack in the middle of Deathlands and eventually met Ryan and the companions. In the uncertain light of the torches, he looked like some kind of phantom from an old Dickens story. A mane of silvery hair framed his gnarled face, and he wore Victorian dress with ease. His black frock coat had acquired a greenish hue and luster from age and wear. His knee breeches showed evidence of serviceable stitching, as well as some from a less skilled hand. His knee boots were cracked leather. The Lamar pistol in his right hand was cocked and steady. Certain that Doc was fully with her, Christy pushed the panel beside the door with her thumb while maintaining her hold on the torch. With her gun at waist level, Christy thrust the torch inside the room and followed it.
Mask, Doc.
Christy shoved her pistol through the front of her belt, then tugged at the cloth around her neck that she'd raided from one of the medkits they turned up during the initial forays on the complex. She pulled it up so that it covered her nose and mouth. Breathing was a little harder, but it was worth the extra effort to keep the dust out. Doc pulled his up, too, looking for all the world like one of those masked desperados in the bits of pre-dark vids Christy had seen. At another time, she might have pointed out the humor. When she'd first entered the complex, Christy had figured the former military installation was going to be a bust. Maybe a few things would be worth salvaging, but nothing that would change their lives. The first few levels had been a washout. On the surface, there was nothing but death. None of the power on those levels had worked, though there might still be nuclear-powered levels somewhere below ground. And now, she and Doc had reached an area where a powered door still worked. It was a situation that lent itself to caution. Christy scanned the interior of the office, taking in the skeleton behind the large metal desk. Racks of books filled the built-in shelves behind the desk. Glancing at the titles, Christy was surprised to see that most of them had to do with physics and biology. She'd expected them to be military manuals. She looked at the withered skeleton. Flame light reflected from the brass name badge pinned above the right pocket of the blouse.
Okay, mister. Who were you? Colonel Henry Walker.
The torchlight illuminated scars on the laminated wood desktop. Christie's trained eye told her they were gouges from bullets. She moved the torch, seeking a new angle, then pulled aside the dead man's uniform blouse. Cracked ribs showed where the bullets had gone through, perhaps a dozen of them. At least one of them had severed the spinal cord, paralyzing the man at once while his killers finished the job.
It appears this poor soul died alone and friendless.
Well, friendless at any rate. Someone stuck around long enough to relieve him of his sidearm. Doc, look at the light there. This computer's up.
A soft glow emanated from the colonel's monitor as the computer came online. A selection of programs, delineated as small rectangles with words under them, came into view against the light blue field. Christy looked at the menu offered, but none of it made any sense.
It works.
Maybe. Could be you'll understand more of this than I do, Doc.
Then allow me, my dear. Take a look around, dear lady, and see if you can find anything that might pass as a code book. Being of the regimented class, I believe that dead fellow could have left a journal of sorts that might provide a clue as to what procedures to use to look at the sort of files inaccessible to the casual observer.
Sure.
I'll check the desk here. If nothing turns up, we can always have Mildred take a go at this. I dare say she is more versed in these infernal contraptions than I.
That was because Mildred Wyeth had been in the 20th century longer than Doc Tanner. Christy shifted her torch and peered through the smoky haze at the books on the shelves. One of them sparked with a metallic intensity. A bullet had smashed flush against a leather spine, ripping away a chunk the size of a quarter. Metal and circuitry was twisted inside. Christy touched the book. Thick and hard, with edges that remained squared and true, it was heavier than she would have guessed. She got a better grip, then pulled hard.
Whoa!
The floor spun beneath Christy before she could act. She lost the torch, but she grabbed the shelves to keep her balance and reached for her pistol. She had the barest impression of Doc turning toward her in shock, her name on his lips, then light and sight were eclipsed by the closing of the hidden door. Working hard to keep her head, Christy pulled on the book again. But nothing happened.
Damn it!
She turned to survey her new surroundings, with both hands wrapped around her gun. Only Stygian darkness greeted her. Christy's gift kicked to life inside her. Wherever Ryan was, she knew her lover was in sudden danger too. She couldn't see what it was. Maybe if she'd had time and could concentrate better, she'd have been able to get a picture of it in her mind. But she didn't have time and couldn't afford to concentrate. Because those same senses warned her now that she was not alone in the darkness.
You and yours should have stayed away!
The mutie above Ryan shot out with his free hand, scrabbling for Ryan's eye. Ryan turned his head as the broken fingernails bit deep into his scarred cheek, curiously having no sensation as they tracked across the nerve-dead areas. The other mutie drew his blade free of the sand and took aim again.
Ryan, we got company!
As the mutie with the knife settled into position, JB swung his Uzi from the newcomers to the creature leaning heavily on Ryan's chest. The burst hit the creature from behind, sending it pitching forward. Ryan grabbed the dying mutie's shirt and pulled him off his chest. The other one got smarter and transferred his axe to his other hand. Ryan threw his weight to one side as the mutie took a cut at him. Ryan blocked the man's arm to the side and rolled, but before he could get to his feet, he got tangled up with the corpse of the man whose head he'd smashed with the Stier's butt.
Shit!
The mutie launched himself at Ryan again, and Ryan reached for his Sig Sauer. The hollow point bullets took the mutie in the chest. Ryan raked the terrain with his gaze, counting at least a half dozen more muties. All of them were in the advanced stages of rad sickness. Ryan's nervous system was still jangling, warning him of danger all around, not just to his front. He darted a quick look over his shoulder and caught a shimmering movement there. He spun, with Sig Sauer before him. Nothing was there. Ryan blinked into the blistering heat. The shimmer moved again, less than 20 feet away. Suddenly, bullets tumbled into the sand around Ryan's feet, urging him into action. He heeded the itch and stayed away from the area where he'd spotted the shimmering movement. His boots shoved deep into the sand as he ran. He had to lift his legs high and drive hard to maintain any kind of speed, and his heart hammered with the exertion. He threw himself behind a tangled section of fence that offered protection from the mutie's rounds. Lying prone, he pulled the Stier into his shoulder and sighted through the scope.
Ryan, we can't hold him. We stay out here, we're gonna get killed ourselves.
I know. We're gonna have to fall back to the installation.
Ryan caught the shimmering movement again outside the corner of his eye. He snapped his head around. He saw a mutie swept up from the ground and suspended in the air. The creature hung nearly 8 feet from the ground. The shimmering motion Ryan had noticed was all around the mutie.
Dark night!
The other muties dropped to their knees in benediction. They laid their arms down, then pressed their hands and faces into the sand before them, prostrating themselves.
Take me!
The shimmering movement was a cloud around the suspended man. Skin broke open along his midsection, partially blurred by the shimmer. Blood poured out in heaving gouts, followed by the snaky length of the man's intestines spilling out onto the dry sand. He pummeled at himself with gnarled fists. Ryan rose to his feet. It wasn't quite 100 yards back to the entrance Jack had found into the structure. JB was only 15 yards in front of him, in a seated position behind a jagged, upthrust section of the volcanic glass left over from the nuclear holocaust. He held the Uzi at the ready, his Smith & Wesson M4000 scattergun hanging by its shoulder sling, muzzle down, so he could get to it in an eye blink.
JB! Let's get the hell out of here!
As Ryan ran, the skin across the back of his neck tightened and cooled despite the burning glare of the sun. He knew the muties weren't the only thing burning up his back trail. He forced himself up the incline, feeling the perspiration roll off him in fat drops. His foot found a soft spot, trod just for a second at an angled edge of something that felt hard, then slid through the shifting sand to mid-thigh. Ryan fell forward, lunging for distance,